What's up, everybody? This is Alex Kelly back here with another episode of the Furloughed Film Talks podcast with my brother and co-host, Ryan.
Hola, senor. How you doing?
I am great, Ryan. It's Thanksgiving week. There's so much to be thankful for. We're just ready for some turkey and ribs and hopefully another Dallas Cowboys win.
Yes, hopefully. Hopefully they can smack the absolute shit out of the New York Giants like we did to the Vikings.
Yeah, we put it on the Giants. That was a fun game. But this is not a sports podcast. This is Furloughed Film Talks, where we're going to talk about a movie that came out this past Friday, right? We saw it the first night.
Yeah, we did.
Okay.
We saw the first night.
Starring John Leguizamo and Anya Taylor-Joy and Ralph
Fiennes.
Fiennes and Nicholas Hoult. It's going to be The Menu, which has like a 90% on Rotten Tomatoes right now, right?
89%. Yeah, okay. To be precise.
Oh, we have to be accurate on this podcast as much as possible.
Yeah, for sure. The audience score is 79%.
That fell a lot.
Really?
Yeah, because it was like 92 when I looked at it when we went and saw it.
And there's been over 500 verified ratings, so that's a pretty broad...
Yeah,
that's okay. We'll get into it, but yeah, we'll talk about The Menu.
That's later, and then right before that, before we start talking about a movie where spoilers, people get murdered, we will also kind of just drop what we're thankful for. Maybe it's a movie or a person or a brother or a pupusa. Who knows what we'll be thankful for? Maybe it's a certain CEO coming back.
Oh, is that a segue?
That is a segue, Ryan. Thank you for picking up what I was laying down.
Oh, Nada.
We're going to start off with a piece of entertainment news that broke Sunday night out of nowhere. Had no idea that this was even a possibility. And it broke, I think it was around 8 o'clock Sunday night, 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock Sunday night. Mm-hmm. We were also getting barbecue at this point, which we will not divulge any more information about that trip.
Why would we not talk about that, Alex?
Pregnant pause. no.
Such a wonderful evening.
Yeah. Bob Iger is back as CEO of the Walt Disney Company, otherwise known as just Disney. He replaces, I don't even remember the dude's first name. I just know him as Chapek. Is it Bob Chapek?
It's Bob Chapek, yeah.
Okay, so Bob on Bob crime hate, took his job, sent him packing, effective immediately. Not a, hey, this is going to happen in like 6 months. Not like a, hey, we're going to go in a different direction here in a bit. No, it's like, hey, bitch, you're out. Iger's back in. Not just for a little while. He has a 2-year contract with the Walt Disney Company. Ryan, what was your immediate reaction? Because when I showed you the phone, because I was shook. You were shook as well, from what I could tell.
Yeah, I don't think I'm quite as, enthralled or excited about it as you are. I think you're really into it for some reason. But I mean,
fuck Chapek.
Because I guess I was marginally surprised, but like not. It's not like out of the blue, fully shocking, right? Because like several factors here, right? The company has not been doing well a couple. You know, let's say generously like 2 years. Like they've had a rough 2 years.
Yeah.
And some of that was their own doing. Some of that has been exacerbated by the pandemic and other things. You know, there's that, but also like it's not unheard of for a prior CEO to come back to a company to take over. Like this happens a lot more than you would think. Most, I think, notably probably with Apple, where Steve Jobs came back and completely turned the company around, turned it into what it is today. I don't know. Like when I first heard of it, I was like mildly surprised. And then, I mean, like, honestly, I'm pretty stoked for it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, the Disney company taking a kind of negative slide for the past couple of years, like, it marginally affects me. Like, I'm not overly, you know, like, up or down on the whims of, like, what Disney's doing, right? So, like, as a like 90s Disney kid, you know, I'm marginally excited for them to hopefully kind of get back on track. But you know, I'm not, it's not like, you know, but like Iger should be able to turn it around. He did a fantastic job taking over from Eisner and turning it into like the Disney that, you know, produced huge Marvel success, produced huge Star Wars something or another, whatever you want to call it. It was a huge Star Wars,
It
you
was a
know,
thing.
product. You know, they did, and he was instrumental in opening some of like the best amusement parks ever created. Like, right, like hands down, the I think it's in Japan, the second park in Japan is supposedly like the greatest amusement park in the world. And so, like, he was instrumental in that. He like so he really did like a shit ton for this company, and hopefully he can come in and like really reverse some of the dumbass stuff that Chapek was doing. Because I mean, like, he was going pretty far with some of his, I mean, there's stuff that just didn't make sense, like from a pure business sense, like all the stuff he did at the parks and like all the pricing stuff that he implemented. And then there's stuff that just didn't make sense from a kind of culture sense, right? Like they went really hard with pushing kind of like the leftist ideology, if you want to call it that. Like they, I mean, they did. They straight up did, right? Like every Marvel movie or every like,
I think that was Feige more than anything, but you know, that's.
well, no, but not only that, but like the Pixar movies, their like original animated movies, like there's obviously like a progressive bent to it where they're trying to like incorporate the kind of LGBTQ plus whatever, you know, agenda into it. But I'm not saying like that's, I, you know, whatever, it's whatever. But like some people took that. I'm not like, I don't have a huge deal with it, but some people had a huge fucking problem with it. I mean, there is a huge movement of people that like straight up canceled their Disney Plus subscriptions and like won't ever like engage with a Disney product ever again just because of like two or three pieces of content they put out that like had marginal, you know, like references to LGBTQ things. So like, you know, in a business sense, like, do you really want to push an ideology and like political bent at the expense of like pissing off 30% of your customer base? Like, I don't know. But yeah, like Chapek did some weird shit. And it's, again, like, I don't know if, you know, Iger probably can like turn it around again marginally, but like he handpicked Chapek to take over. He handpicked everyone on the board who fired Chapek and brought him back. So I mean, like, if you want to blame anyone for like ha what happened in the past few years, you kind of would, in my eyes, blame Iger more than you would Chapek, right? Like,
But at what point does it become like Iger had been there for so long and he legitimately he had been there for like what 20 years, 20 plus years?
as CEO, something like that. Yeah, I don't
But he
know
had
how long
been
it
there
is,
for a
but
really long time. He wanted out. He kind of wanted to do other things. And like, I can't blame him for wanting to like kind of get out of what was probably a really high stress job. And yeah, he handpicked this dude and rightly, I mean, I would say it was wrong, but you know, he immediately started cutting stuff with the theme parks. And started to like make these huge changes with the theme parks. And that pissed off a ton of people because, like, Disney World and Disneyland are already not cheap by any stretch of the imagination. But then you cut like features and extras that were great and you made it more expensive and even harder to get to the actual parks. That
And
in
he
and
actually
of
didn't even like cut, well, he cut the transportation, and then he
yeah.
monetized some of like the like expedited ticket or ride
Yeah.
systems that they had. Yeah, that's, and you know, that's what I was like kind of bringing up, the whole like ideology stuff in their content, is I like honestly think like there's a much broader audience of people that engage with Disney content rather
Yeah.
than go to the parks like, I don't know what the number is, but it's got to be like 10x or 100x more people like are Disney subscribers or engaged with Disney content through Disney Channel, ABC, ESPN. Like ESPN's a perfect example. Like
Yeah.
everyone, like I can barely fucking watch ESPN anymore because it's so bad. Like SportsCenter and like most of ESPN is just like complete dog shit, right?
Yeah, it's not
The
been
only
good for a
time,
little while.
yeah, the only time you ever like they kind of saved Monday Night Football like with the paid-in broadcast, but like until this year, like Monday Night Football had been literally unwatchable
It'd
with.
been dog shit for at least a decade, and they bringing in like doing the Manning cast, and I would say bringing in Joe Buck and Troy Aikman has saved Monday Night Football as well. Like some people have problems
Exactly, yeah.
with Joe Buck, but like he is still one of the best broadcasters out there. So you add like immediate legitimacy to that broadcast, no matter what your thoughts are on Joe Buck. And so yeah, like. They had just been having problems with a lot of different things. And so that's why, to me, like bringing Iger obviously doesn't like solve everything immediately, but it definitely does kind of point it in the right direction and makes these next 2 years and really more like the next 6 to 8 months of decisions that he's going to make be very interesting to see where this company is going to
Yeah, I mean, it seems like he, I
go.
mean, he is gonna have to focus heavily on several different areas that it, you know, he kind of has to course correct. But I think honestly, like 50% of his job over the next like 2 years is just going to be finding the next CEO. Like
Yeah.
literally half his time is going to be conducting a search for the next CEO. And after the whole like Chapek fiasco, you know, they're almost guaranteed to bring in a CEO from outside the company instead of promoting from within.
So you don't think he stays on after 2 years? He's gone after two?
I mean, let's see. He's 71 years old, first off. Like, I did
That's
not know he's that fucking old. He's
doesn't look
71.
71.
He's in fantastic shape for a 71 year old. So yeah, I mean, I would be very surprised if he was here longer than 2 years.
Yeah, no, I mean
I would be willing to bet that he stays on through the end of 2024. Like he's here for 2023 and here for 2024, and after that he's done.
Yeah, because his contract's through the end of 2024.
Yeah. So
So,
hey, listen to this. This is fucking gold from the Bob Iger Wikipedia page.
oh, hell yeah.
In 2005, board members Roy E. Disney and Stanley Gold began a campaign called Save Disney against Eisner. As a result, Disney began to search the next CEO to replace Eisner. On March 13, 2005, Disney announced that Iger would succeed Michael, or, I'm sorry, Iger would succeed Michael Eisner as CEO, and Iger was placed in charge of day-to-day operations, though Eisner held the title of CEO until he resigned on September 30, 2005. In July 2005, Disney and Gold dropped the campaign and agreed to work with Iger.
Just fucking crazy stuff, man.
Yeah, I remember there was some kind of, wasn't there a documentary or something we watched that like kind of covered that where
Yeah, I think it was
like there was a
Defunct Land.
huge. What's that?
I think it was Defunct Land on YouTube.
Yeah, shout out to Defunct Land on YouTube.
Defunct Land is one of the best like YouTube long form,
Documentary
yeah,
YouTube
YouTube
pages.
series.
Yeah, and I mean it's just pure like Disney slash other Florida amusement park stuff.
Yeah, some of it's like oh my God, Universal Studios, stuff like that.
But yeah, crazy ass shit that
No,
the
it's just
board just goes
wild.
like nuclear against their CEO.
Well, yeah, because
So at
Eisner
least,
fucking sucked.
I mean, that I think that's unfair, but you know.
Cool.
Because like Eisner, I like let's be fair, like Eisner did preside over like the renaissance of Disney, right? In terms of like their animated content.
Yeah, in the 90s, but he just made so, and again, like another CEO who made horrible decisions with some of the theme parks. And like, what was the one in, was it Europe that was like horrific?
Paris, Disney
Yeah,
Paris,
Paris.
yeah.
Yeah, which like that was a complete clusterfuck of an opening. So no, like I think Iser did, he was probably okay, but you know, he's just kind of the meme now or the joke that he was a terrible CEO.
Yeah, I mean, probably like overall, he probably was like,
Yeah.
probably to be fair. But oh, another thing that was like kind of funny about this whole situation, the stock price of Disney bumped like over 10% on the news that Iger was coming back,
Really?
and now it's all the way back down, basically to like it's basically up 1% for the 5 day total. But
Oh my.
yeah, I mean, makes sense.
Yeah. Well. Right, well, we'll
What,
see what
why,
happens.
so why are you so excited about it? Like,
I just think like I think Iger brings a wealth of experience and knowledge to like Disney overall that you know Chapek didn't really, you know, I mean he had the experience at Disney, but you know, Iger comes back as somebody who completely understands what it takes to be like the CEO of this company, and I think he truly respects and appreciates like even just the cast members at Disney World and Disneyland, and wants to do the best for them. And I think he's gonna hopefully make some changes that, you know, puts what's it called, Disney World back into a place where it's maybe affordable or you know kind of what people had been expecting through the 2010s. But I mean that's gonna have to take reevaluating like the Genie Plus thing.
the what?
Revalue.
Genie.
Genie
Oh,
Plus.
Genie Plus. Yeah,
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 the like fast pass thing that they have now. So I just think like, and it all comes down to perception. It all comes down to what people think of the company and the CEO overall. And the perception and the re of Chapek and what people really thought was highly negative, fairly or unfairly. And so to have him and the board kind of come to the same conclusion, like we don't know what the hell happened behind the scenes. There have been rumors that like the quarter three report was like the final draw, and the board was like, "Bye bye, bitch." And you know, now they have him back, or they got rid of Chapek and brought Iger back. So I'm just excited to see, you know, what he brings back to the table with his experience. Like that's just to me why I got so stoked.
Did the third quarter results like already come out for Disney?
Yeah, they came out like a week ago, which I don't really follow any of that stuff, but the stories and reports about Iger taking back over, that was like the number one thing that they cited. So,
I'm like super curious. We're okay. Here's the, let's see. Let's look at the earnings report. Let's do a quick financial analysis
of Disney.
of Disney. Yeah.
Yay.
Oh, they don't have a.
While Ryan does that, I'll show off my pop of the week. I have the new three pack of Blink 182 Butt Naked from their What's My Age Again music video. If you are watching this on YouTube, you can see them with their instruments right in front of their ding-a-lings. Picked this up at Hot Topic today. Very excited about this Funko Pop. Funko Pop of the week.
Well, I don't know. I don't see anything in here that is crazy, but this must be something. It's a talking 20-page report of nothing but numbers. So, anyways,
Jesus.
yeah, I mean, you know, the pant. Oh, that's not good.
What?
Their debt load is fucking insane.
Much.
Hold on, let's see. Let's have a
Can
full.
I help you, Yoshi? Why are you staring at me?
Where the fuck's your balance sheet, guys?
If anybody doesn't know, Ryan is a accountant by trade, and so
Yes, I'm
he is
in.
acutely aware.
Okay, here we go. Jesus fucking Christ. They guess, okay, guess how much long-term debt they have.
Long-term debt?
Yeah. So it, so debt due in over a year.
Let me say, like, give me millions or billions.
Definitely billions.
Oh God. 3 billion.
Try again. I'll give you one more guess before you.
Higher or lower?
Much higher. Much, much higher.
12 billion.
46 million.
What?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
They have 46 billion of long-term borrowings. They have other long-term liabilities, which are probably like payroll,
yeah,
like related stuff. 13 billion. They have redeemable non-controlling interest, which is kind of like preferred stock for like usually banking relationships to help like, but still all in, they're like, they're long-term fucking, that's like, it's about $70 billion
of in
like
debt.
In debt. Yeah. Which is like twice their like their current liquid assets, which it's not great. Anyways,
well, that's, hold on. So what's their liquid assets right now versus what's
so, okay, so
due
like
in
their
a
total
year?
Their total current assets, which is just like cash, like short-term receivables, inventories, all that kind of good stuff, like pretty liquid stuff, is $31 billion.
And they owe $46 billion in like a year.
Well, no, that's just anything longer than a year, not necessarily a year.
Okay.
But it's probably anywhere from a year to 5 years due.
That makes a lot more sense. Of there was a report today from somebody that like maybe the reason they brought Iger back is to like facilitate a deal to Apple.
As a acquisition?
Yeah.
That makes sense. I don't know. That's another thing. Oh, that's another thing I also want to mention. Like, you know, Disney has their like work cut out for them in terms of like the streaming wars, right?
Oh yeah.
So like that would be a good idea probably to like bring in an Apple or something. At least like
no, to sell Disney to Apple.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
I bet. Ooh, could like they even do? They probably could. I wonder how much cash Apple has on their balance sheet. I bet Apple could buy them just with their fucking cash. Like
how much would a sale of Disney be?
Well, currently their market cap is, hold on.
Welcome to Furloughed Film Talks Investment Talk, baby.
Yeah, so they'd probably sell it for more than the market cap currently. And the market cap right now is, I hate fucking Disney or Google Finance's new thing. Here we go. Their market cap is $175 billion. I don't know. It would be anywhere between $150 and $200 billion. Which, okay. Let's see. As of September 30th, okay. Apple only has $50 billion cash on hand.
Yeah, so there's no way.
No, I mean, they 100% could buy them. Like, it just, you know, it'd be a, they have to finance it or whatever, or like trade equity, which they 100% could do. I don't know. I think you would definitely sell Disney for more than $175 billion. You'd probably sell it for closer to $200 billion.
Yeah.
I don't know, though. I mean,
at that point,
I don't think Apple's going to do that, dude. Like, Apple doesn't want to get into the business of, like, owning theme parks, right?
Parks and everything else.
I mean, that would be, like, an extensive, like, merger. It would be probably the biggest merger in, like, the history of
media,
U.S. corporations.
Which at that point, because it would be the FTC who has to approve that, right?
Yeah, which, I mean, I don't think that would be a problem. It would just, like, literally Yeah, because you think about it, they don't have like much crossover. Like the only crossover they have is Disney Plus and Apple.
Yeah,
right? Or everything Disney else, Plus. The businesses are completely different.
Yeah,
like Apple doesn't have theme parks. Apple doesn't, you know, like Disney doesn't make phones. Disney,
but I mean, Apple TV Plus has, and I mean, it's Disney has ESPN Plus and Hulu, and Apple's trying to get into like the sports broadcasting scene with
The FTC might have an issue just purely with their media portions of each business. Like,
yeah,
they might make, because Disney like owns Fox now, so Disney owns like an insane percentage of like overall U.S. media. I don't know. They may. I mean, they honestly might. I don't know. I don't know. They, I mean, FTC has been pretty like lenient with some shit. They might let him get away with it. Like they haven't really stopped any other like
merger,
media mergers, right? They haven't made any made like Disney. I don't think they made Disney like roll off any of their IPs to bring on Fox.
I think they had to sell off some of the local channels or something. I think there was a deal somewhere in there where they had to get rid of some of the local Fox or something like that.
Yeah, I don't think the FTC is going to care if it's all like cable packages and
yeah
and subscription based media platforms. Like they don't give a fuck if, you know, Disney owns the streaming like platforms, right?
That'd be fucking dude. That'd be insane if they did that, though.
Yeah, I honestly don't see it happening.
I don't either. It was just like a report that I saw today where it was like for the ultimate deal maker, i.e. Iger, like this would mm-hmm. be the biggest one he could do, and maybe that's why he was being brought back on. So
okay, definitely something. Just for shits and giggles, let's see what the stock price would go to if it sold for $200 billion.
Is there like a simulator that you can do?
No, it's just a simple calculation. Market cap is just share price times number of shares outstanding. So at a 175 billion market cap, that means there's 1.8 million shares outstanding. You then divide 200 billion divided by the total shares outstanding, you would get the share price of what it would be. So
Ryan, knowing numbers.
$109.
What's that currently?
96. I mean, you okay. make it pretty chill, like 10 to 15%, I guess. But
yeah.
Anyways.
Good times. Finance yeah, talk, man.
Finance talk.
Yeah. We don't do that too often. No. But that's Ryan's background, so he knows it quite well.
Yes. Yeah. That is.
We're going to do something we don't normally do. We're going to segue off into a very different type of segment for our Thanksgiving edition of the Furloughed Film Talks podcast. We're just going to randomly throw out shit that we're thankful for. Ryan, do you have anything that you are thankful for this time of the year?
Oh, I'm extremely thankful for the beautiful and lovely fiance that has been entered into my life.
Oh, right. That's cheesy.
Fuck you. I'm very grateful for my beautiful fiance.
She's holding a knife just off screen right now.
Yeah, no, she's not. I'm grateful for her and for my beautiful family and my wonderful job.
That's good.
And the fact that Trump is making a 2024 run. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
You are just a bitch.
Just for the lulz, I am absolutely looking forward to that. The man is fucking hilarious. The
man is fucking crazy.
He is, but he's also hilarious.
Yeah.
He's got major Baxter Brinkman energy, and I love it.
You need to explain who Baxter Brinkman is so people at home can just be like, what the hell is he talking about?
Oh, sure. So my first time out of college, I worked for a company called Brinkman Inc., I guess, whatever. It doesn't exist anymore. So owned by a man named Baxter Brinkman, who's a local Uber millionaire in the Dallas area. He actually owns South Fork Ranch, which the, you know, hit TV show Dallas was filmed on and based on and everything. But the man is insane. Like, hopefully, I don't want to actually, I'll take that back. He's,
yeah, like, let's be very careful with the billionaire. Yeah,
he's litigious. He's eccentric. I have loads of stories if anyone's interested, but you know, he was a fun man and major Trumpian vibes in just the, I think, you know, people of that wealth level tend to have some similar aspects to their personalities. So
yeah.
My personal favorite story, if you're interested.
I am.
Yeah. We were you know, so I worked in the accounting department at Brinkman for several years, and I worked with two other accountants and I don't know what this guy fucking did. This guy named Keaton. He did something in our department. But one day, me, Keaton, and one of the other accountants are talking, and Baxter comes by, and Keaton had just like damn near sliced his finger off with a with while he was cooking at home the night before, and he had a surgery, a whole nine yards, but he's got a little splint on it. And Baxter comes by, and he sees it, and he's like, "That's fucking nothing." He takes off his shoe, and his toe is like purple. Like his entire toe is like purple and decayed. And he's like, "That's a fucking injury.
Ew.
I like had a ski injury a couple weeks ago, and like my toe is completely fucked." And he's just like, the owner of our company is just standing there with his like bare foot and
His foot
mangled
and
toe.
his shoe and socks off.
Yeah.
Had he gone to the doctor to get this checked out, or was he just like walking around on a
Dude,
completely fucked
God only
toe?
knows, man. This is the same dude who had like sleep apnea, so who just like passed the fuck out at random times. Like, they would have meetings, and like Baxter would just pass the fuck out, and they just had to pause the meeting until Baxter woke back up. Like, they wouldn't wake him because like it would startle him. I don't know, like, yeah,
This sounds like a sitcom show.
it was an amazing place to work. It
Good
was good.
Lord Almighty.
Yeah.
Alrighty then. No, I'm thankful for my
Yeah, what do you
girlfriend.
think?
I'm
Thankful
thankful
for.
for my girlfriend as well. My pupusa, who is dead asleep on the couch over here with his Bucky's bow tie on. He looks
It's
so.
it's just a bow.
No, it has the Bucky's logo on it. Anyways, he is very peacefully sleeping off to the side here. I'm thankful for the great people that I work with, and I'm thankful for my brother, who I get to
Oh.
do a fun podcast with. And I'm thankful for all of our listeners, all seven of them, wherever they may be in the
We had
world.
58 last week.
Yeah, all 58 of our listeners
Thank you
in the
very
last.
much. You were.
You are the best. And also for the amazing food that we are going to be able to nourish our bodies with on Thursday.
Yes, I cannot wait for the ribs
Yes.
and the cake and the turkey. And I'm making some mashed potatoes.
Taters.
Yeah, it's gonna be a fun day. It's gonna be a real
No,
fun day.
it's going to be a good time. But let's segue into murder. We
Nice.
thank you. We saw an absolutely batshit wild movie on Thursday night, starring people we already talked about, so we don't have to re-say their names, but we will because we want them to get their due. It is Ralph Fiennes, Anya Taylor-Joy. Ryan is looking up this thing and lost it, I guess. Nicholas Holt.
Yeah, sorry.
You're good. John Leguizamo and a bunch of other dudes. Reed Birney. It is called The Menu, directed by Mark Myloid, who has directed 13 episodes of Succession, as well as a bunch of episodes of Entourage. Just a really highly respected TV director. Ryan, what is The Menu about?
All right. So the
Oh, hello,
film.
Aspen.
What's that?
Aspen just walked in.
Oh, your dog. You're the dog.
Yes, the one that looks perpetually high.
She is. The film, penned by Will Tracy and Seth Reese, focuses on a young couple who visits an exclusive destination restaurant on a remote island where the acclaimed chef has prepared a lavish tasting menu along with some shocking surprise. Okay. Yeah, so that's okay, that's a shitty synopsis. But yeah, so basically it kind of centers around several groups of restaurant goers who come to this very exclusive restaurant.
Yes.
And but unfortunately it turns out that the chef has handpicked most of them, spoiler alert, to die because
Yes.
they have crossed him in one way or another.
Or they're
And
just terrible, wealthy people.
right. And he's had enough with it, and he's gonna take everyone out, including his entire staff and himself, and he's gonna do it in grand fashion.
Yes.
That's the movie.
And I take umbrage with one part of that synopsis where it says a young couple. They're not a young couple.
They're youngish.
No. Couple part. They're not really together. It's kind
Oh, well, I mean,
of
in the colloquial sense of like they're a couple for the evening.
Yes. Okay. I hear young couple and it's like, oh, they've been dating. No, she's a
No,
hooker.
she's an escort.
Yes, my bad. Whatever.
Use the terminology.
Okay, let me be so completely accurate how I describe Anya Taylor-Joy's character, who blew Reed Birney. No, that's insinuated that that's why, like, he's a Flanderer, and he had been with Anya Taylor-Joy's character, and she.
The old dude?
Yes.
No, he didn't. She I'll be too graphic here, but she explained what happened. Like, apparently he pleasured himself while she like sat there played the
Oh, and
repeaters or
watched.
yeah.
Oh,
Yeah.
Jesus.
So that's I don't know. I don't
Sick.
know the exact like stratification of hooker to escort to prostitute, but she's one of those. She's
She's somewhere in that universe.
a bad girl.
Bad. She gets hired by Nicholas Holt's character to come enjoy this menu restaurant thing because he's a huge foodie and he's like obsessed with this guy and is
Yeah.
just having the time of his life, like he's at Disney World, throwback,
Love
callback.
it. Nice.
And that to me, like, it definitely didn't take me out of the movie, but like Nicholas Holt's acting in those scenes was like perfection because he truly, it was just like cringeworthy watching this dude just fawn all over this like chef who could not have given a shit what this guy thought.
Dude, it was perfect. His
Yeah.
like depiction of that character was perfect. Like, I think I would have been at like 80% of that. Like, if I like were able to go to like the French Laundry or like, you know, a few other establishments,
The fuck is the French Laundry?
it's like the best restaurant in the world.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I would like definitely fanboy over it, but like this guy was like way over the top with it. And
It turned up to 11 for sure.
it was fucking hilarious. Because you know, there's thousands of those types of people out there. Like
Yeah.
they not only do they exist, but they like they're your neighbors. They're your friends. Like they might not make themselves known, but they are there
They
lurking
are
in the
around
shadows.
you,
Yeah.
working in the shadows. No, like what was your overall kind of like impression of this movie? Like we both walked out of it and we were like, holy shit, that was insane.
I loved it. I mean, I thought it was really it was an original story, and it was, I think, pretty relevant. You know, it was very it was an accurate depiction of kind of the society that we find ourselves in, where everything is kind of glorified on social media, on Instagram, and whatever. And you know, like the it I think it's a, you know, it is an accurate depiction of like the glorification of certain celebrities within like the food space or within
Yeah.
like the restaurant space. And we feel like it had a few of these, like, you know, chef, and there have been like several movies of the past like decade or so that kind of like focuses in on like how absurd that like space has gotten with like
That
the
whole
celebrity
world.
chef and yeah the whole like rural community kind of. But there hasn't been something like most of like the other movies like that that had covered this topic are much more like grounded in reality, where it's just like showing like the shit life being a chef is, right? And it's like
Yeah.
that kind of thing. This was just like showing the absurdity of like creating celebrity out of a dude that like, you know, cooks,
And
right?
who
And like,
basically hates it.
yeah, has gotten to the point where he hates it, and like kind of the journey of how one goes from like, you know, falling in love with cooking to having grand success to like absolutely despising everything about his like, you know, life and career
Job.
choice, and yeah, and culmination of what has happened to him. And like, I think you can very reasonably understand like where someone would like fucking start hating their lives if it got to the point where like it is like where it got for him, right?
Yeah.
They definitely took some leaps, right? Where, you know, they had one kind of grudge that he held against the investor who like gave him the money for his restaurant, He was like, well, you know, he kind of was resentful that this guy like provided the money, but has now like in his eyes held control over him for whatever reason. Like that's kind of silly. Like if you don't want someone like having control over your restaurant or over like
What you did.
your operation, like just don't take the money. That's okay, like okay, that's silly. But like the way he was kind of like truly resentful over people who just like glorified him, in the case of like Nicholas Holt's character, or on the other end of the spectrum, just took his work to be so kind of mundane that the older couple had been there like 10 or 11 times, and like for most people, like it would be a huge honor to get to eat at this restaurant, but for them, it's turned into just like, oh, it's just like one of the things that we go out and do, right?
Yeah,
And there's
this is
like
like
this
another night
full,
at TGI Fridays.
yeah, exactly. Like this is a full spectrum of how people, I think, to either take for granted or like disrespect, like someone who takes the culinary world like really seriously. How like it just can be like, I don't know, like I said, like disrespected or just overly glorified or turned into something that's like just not purely about the food. Like for Nicholas Holt's character, it wasn't purely about the food. It was more of like the status and the like
It's like hero worship almost.
esteem. Yeah, the hero worship, the clicks that he's gonna get off of like being able to post Instagram pictures of like him snapping the food, right? All of that like is, I think, very timely and is like completely appropriate for how some people interact with this particular niche.
Well, with that like character in specific with Nicholas Holt, he like thought he was a foodie and thought he could be like on that level and like knew exactly like what he was doing and could like kind of almost not almost go toe to toe with him, but like be a cook within that world. And then, Ralph Fiennes' character puts his ass down quick in like
Yeah.
one of the more uncomfortable scenes in the movie.
Which is actually like that was kind of a, I don't know, that was a fun sequence where they like the chef forces Nicholas Holt's character into the kitchen and he's like, oh well, if you're so into this shit, like cook us a meal, cook us a
Yeah.
dish. He's like, we have literally anything and
Everything you would
everything
want.
you would want. Like pick the one thing you can do well. And I don't know, I'm sure there are people like this out there who are just super into, you know, the restaurant world and they could not cook like the most simple dish to save the, like I don't know, I thought that was silly because my first thought was like, okay, if like I love cooking and I like I you know off and on have been like really like enthralled in certain chefs and like following like really popular restaurants, but I'm not like quite at that level, but like if I was put in the same situation where like the chef was like high pressuring me to like cook a meal, I could do it, right? Like you would think like anyone who is that into the restaurant world and like in chef worshiping, they could like go cook some sort of meal like that. But it was fucking hilarious that like not only could he not do it, but he was so ashamed by the fact that he couldn't do it, he went and hung
He
himself.
fucking killed himself.
He hung himself by his own tie.
It was
So
that was one of the fucking craziest scenes.
yeah.
Like, I don't know, it was an intense movie because you had not only just like this one guy like worshiping him, but like the entire set of like sous chefs or whatever you want to call it, like assistants, were like militant to this chef, and like it was like a cult basically.
100%. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. It's definitely like a cult.
And so it definitely like opens up a perspective that maybe most people haven't thought about, where, and maybe it's a little bit overdone or like over satirized, where like not everybody is that cultish within a restaurant or a kitchen, but like the general vibe you probably get in some of those restaurants are cultish with how they look up to that chef.
Yeah, I would. I mean, I would say like the majority probably aren't like that, but there's a non-zero number of restaurants that are like scarily close
Oh yeah.
to cultish like that, right? Which is
Fucking
mind-boggling.
scary as shit.
Yeah. Like I was talking about the other night. Remember I was saying something about the documentary Euro Dreams of Sushi?
Yeah.
Like that is like almost if that chef Euro like told one of his apprentices or like one of the main other chefs that worked for him to go like seppuku themselves, hands down they fucking would. Like no
That's
questions asked.
insane.
Yeah, I mean it isn't like I mean for those for a lot not for those but like for a lot of people in that career path, like a lot of them don't come from like very good backgrounds. They don't have like me. They don't come from means. And like you know this. The chef of their restaurant becomes their entire world, their entire existence, and then like the chef is like the leader, you know, kind of like Yoshi is the
Hello.
oh hello Yoshi.
Look at his little bow tie.
That's a fuck he that's a bow, dude. That's a like your male dog is wearing
Hi.
a little bow.
He's such a creedo. He earned
Are
his
you gonna
name.
bring it for Thanksgiving?
No, mom was like, no, we don't, we probably shouldn't. I'm like, what the fuck, man? So
Word.
we're gonna have to run home after lunch to like let them out and then come back.
That sucks.
Yeah.
But anyways,
What do you think of the ending of this movie? Because the ending
fucking.
of it almost took me out of it a little bit with the cheeseburger scene.
That was fantastic, dude. I mean, like, that's one thing that I was gonna mention is. What was like really, really good about this movie was like you could not see how this was gonna end, right? Like the
Yeah.
entire time you were like, I was at least thinking, okay, they're gonna figure out a way to get out of this. They're gonna
Yeah.
like somehow someone's gonna escape, someone's gonna come rescue them, something's gonna happen to like not have this turn out the way the chef is describing, where everyone's gonna die. And then, like in the end, it turns out everyone fucking dies,
Yeah,
right?
everybody, spoiler, but yeah, everybody gets fucking
Spoiler, everyone
roasted
gets
alive with
murdered.
fucking s'mores.
Yeah, in the most like fucking just crazy way possible, like everyone gets fucking dressed as s'mores and they burn that fucking building down.
Yeah.
They blow it up. They
With
straight up blow up the building.
the chef, the sous chefs, the assistants, fucking everybody in there.
Everyone goes.
Except for Anya Taylor-Joy's character.
Yeah, Anya Taylor-Joy escapes, which, you know, I don't know. I thought it was like such a fantastic. Not only did they like tie that cheeseburger scene into like his background, and he obviously had like a change of heart enough to let her go. He
Yeah.
didn't have a change of heart enough to like stop and not kill everyone in that building. He had enough change of heart to stop and like let that one person live who like he said over and over through the course of the movie wasn't supposed to be there.
Yeah.
I don't know, it like just completely kept you on the seat of your pants, and like even though the movie was telling you exactly how it was going to end, I was genuinely surprised by how it ended.
I love the ending of it. It was just that scene where she was like, I want a cheeseburger. A cheeseburger? Yeah, I want a cheeseburger. What kind of cheeseburger? A regular cheeseburger. Like they said cheeseburger at least 15 fucking times
Yeah,
in like a
with
30
fries.
second scene. Yeah, with crinkle cut fries. Like that to me was just like, all right, guys, we're going a little too hard on the cheeseburger gasm right here, but
A little
whatever.
bit. But it was fantastic. I loved everything about it.
Yeah. Well, Ryan, what would you give the menu on the Max Jindo head rating scale?
Out of five Jindo Max heads, named after my beautiful papusa,
Yes.
Maximus, the Korean Jindo.
The original.
The OG pupusa. I would give the menu. I think I give the menu a 4.25.
Okay. I was gonna say a 4 out of 5 for me.
Four out of five. Okay,
Four out of
that's.
five. Solid movie. Definitely right there where the audience score was. I think people should go see it because it's Succession but with food to me.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, this is also 100% a movie you can just watch at home when it comes out on Amazon.
Yeah,
This
for sure.
is not something that like I would, you know, If you don't want to get out, go see a movie.
I wonder if he has a deal with HBO Max because he's done so much with like HBO.
I don't know. Let's see. Do you remember who the studio was?
No.
I have it up. Searchlight Pictures, which isn't that part of Fox. No.
Yeah, Searchlight was Fox.
Now it's... Oh, yeah. So it's part of Disney.
Yeah, so it's
so no, it won't.
Never mind. Whoops a daisy.
Yeah, do you think they'll put the menu on Disney Plus?
No, they'll put that on Hulu.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
For sure. But yeah, the menu is out now. Go check it out. But Ryan, this has been a fun episode.
Yes, sir.
We did a little finance talk. We talked about what we were thankful for. And we are now officially ready for Thanksgiving and football. Anything else you want to add, Rye?
I just want to, without being too specific, just want to wish you a very, very happy birthday, sir.
Aw, thank you so much. Because
sometime in the next week, you're going to be turning years old. And
I am aging a year.
And it's been a fantastic damn near 3 decades of life with you, sir.
Thank you so much. It's been a damn near over 3.5 decades for you of amazing. No, what the fuck am I saying?
Not 35 yet. Jesus Christ.
Well, I mean, I was saying I've known you for over 3 decades, which is not true.
It's not possible.
Yeah, impossible. But everybody, thank you, Ryan, for that.
Absolutely. Yes. I'm very much looking forward to celebrating with you.
And the ribs. 11 yes. pounds of those bitches. But everybody, thank you for checking out this episode of the Furloughed Film Talks podcast. If you want to find out more about the show, you can follow us on Instagram at Furloughed Film Talks and on Twitter at Furloughed Film. But have a great Thanksgiving. Be safe on Black Friday. Don't get run over by a bunch of Karens trying to get air fryers. And have a great rest of your week.
Adios, amigos.